Dear cousin. Dear cousin, you must be astonished by the obsolete manner of communication I've chosen, a recorded message. Please, I do you beg to forgive me for what must certainly be the non-correct way I'm using this old mode of communication, language. Very slow, and in the extreme confusing with so many words, meaning so many, the question of pronunciation, and above all, that bother of fitting neatly the right words together in the right place. Anyhow, although 654 years have passed, I think, since our school days, I recall you a good student of history. You enjoyed struggling with difficult sound messages, and certainly you'll apprehend the mistakes I'm making. Fortunately, the machine works well. Ah, look what the label says. Speech simulator. What sort of word is that? I've rented it from the museum to make sound of these linguistic thoughts of mine. Otherwise, ha ha. Who knoweth how this speech of mine would sound? Ha ha. Who knoweth? The tool not used languishes. Ha ha. Ah, let me not forget to demand forgiveness for the sound interference at the back of my words. It's apparently thought noise. Something like tumult from my brain and beyond thoughts distant and memories which burrow into the machine. My news? It is no useful telling you, for we communicate daily by telepathy, direct, and already thou knowest, whereas who knoweth to say when this sound message you'll receive, since so far away you've chosen to reside. Well, the reason why I thus communicate with you is that I am of late suffering from something like acute pastitis. Did not illnesses end in itis in the olden days? And, ha ha, was it not then that people were always ill? To be sure, ha ha, I'm joking, I have no illness. It's just that, well, a foolish attraction and curiosity about how things were then. And this attraction or curiosity seems to be nibbling my imagination and confusing it with history, which, anyway, I don't know. You know how much I hated it at school history. And you who so excelled in multi-psychology will surely apprehend already what's happening to me. But I get emotional. Yes, cousin, I get emotional. Plenty. And often I drop a few tears, which caress my cheeks, and I thought I would tell you in a sound message, not by telepathy, just in case with some of this emotion I might reach you so far away that you've chosen to reside. I've also bought a good memory translator, which I shall employ as good tool to transfigure memory into sounds. Ha ha. Imagine what on the market there is today. Well, the cause of this pastitis is Ars Moriendi. Thou knowest the encampment for mutants that used to be near the edge of town. I say, well, the town's council to dislodge it decided for some reasons, and to transfer the inmates who knoweth where. The council said it wouldn't harm them, just transfer them. Just imagine being a mutant. How tragic all of your parts must feel, being but a tiny offshoot of evolution. A subrogate being, a tiny minor footnote of biotechnology and medical science. Ha, ha, this wit is not of me. My brain plucked it somewhere. I think it was an article of classical beauty about those mutants' few. But you see, they dissolved Ars Moriendi. Then, you see, the multifaceted strike meant they leave there the facilities for a long time. And the climate, well, you know, strong climate made the havoc. The facilities became ruins swift. Forsooth, it made the town's outskirts have ruinous and deserted labyrinth of worn by climate buildings. Well, there, in that place, word got round that walk in a pitch black night is nice, full of surprises and things like visions and magical apparitions because of the mutants, apparently, those who escaped, not transferred away. That's what I heard. And one evening I was tempted and went as well to Ars Moriendi. Hear what happened. Hey, you can't imagine what goes on. Of course, imagine not sensational things. I go into the ruins. A little time passes, exactly then. Sweetness and enchantment fill me, from my low to my upper spaces. For days afterwards I'm in tranquility and on a level flying as I recall tiny moments from that little walk. And that's when I weep. Not the entire me, not with every part of mine, but just enough to convulse myself in a very fundamental way. For instance, you move through the desolate ruins which place flying dust on all your lips, but suddenly all your mouths become refreshed and all your nose is filled with strange intoxifying fragrance. Then dust returns to all your mouths and noses, and then the hum, the slithering from over there, sometimes hasty, other times sluggish. Very. A thud from over there. Someone's fallen. Who? You go over. None. You hear a sound. A whistle. And then a sound like voice. From over there. Again. Not full in speech, but rolling and with strange frequencies. At strange intervals. As you were excellently good at mathematics, you'll surely already understand what I meant by that. Again, for instance. This time I heard something like that. It rootled me to the ground, my breathing heavy. Then I ran hither, thither, over there, to find what was making that voice sound. Was it a being? Did the sound exist? Imagined I the sound? I know not. What I did was, I sat down. I placed my hands upon this head of mine. Try to breathe deeply, be calm. Surely I became sound. For the voice I was hearing was not external, but within. Then I fell asleep, the best of my sleeps. Hold on, while I get the memory translator, the good model, to record something like that memory for thee. Perhaps you'll get emotional as well. And I can move you, reach you, even so far away you've chosen to reside. This sound then, it went something like this.